Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Heavenly Father, how we thank you and we praise you, dear God, for your faithfulness and goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, that this day is a day in which you intend to bless us, to build us up, to encourage us, and help us to learn and understand more of you. Father, we thank you for the many prayer requests and the burdens on our hearts, Lord, that we have the drive, the receptiveness to be concerned about others around us and the world around us and your work in this world. We pray, dear God, that we would pray for this world and your message of gospel in this world, that according to your will, that all men would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But we also, Lord, pray, Lord, for those that are persecuted and troubled in their walk with you, dear God, that you comfort them and encourage them, and that you would withhold the hand of those that would do them harm. Father, we're so very grateful for each other, for this time we have together, and for this day of blessing. And for that we give you praise in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, we've been in the book, turning again to the book of Revelation. And what I do is and we're not going to go, intend going all the way through Revelation, but really is this first part here for a couple more chapters, maybe. To help just get across what Revelation has to say about the world that we live in, the things going on in the world, and I'm not trying to define every creature, every act, everything, these mysterious and all the symbolism and things like that, but to bring it back down into what it's actually saying and what in spite of the symbolism, in spite of these things that are hard to understand, talk about the things that are simple to understand, those things that are important to understand. So we've been covering, after we went through the Jesus, his message to each of the churches, we came to the control center of the universe, into the throne room of God in chapters 4 and 5, to find out, have direct first-hand knowledge of what's going on and what's going to take place. And this is the around the throne. That is where the universe is controlled from. That's what's going on. This is where the decision. These are where the orders are given, and those that take the orders and carry out the orders, and how it all focuses now on the Lamb that had appeared as though it had been slain, but who is worthy to open the seals, the seven seals of this book, that bring about the end and the document the end and the means by which this world as we know it will come to an end, and how Christ will return in power and glory and establish his kingdom on earth. And for all those who say, if things are so bad, why doesn't God do something about it? Well, this is where he does something about it. And it's not a time and a place that is going to allow some to say, it's everybody else's fault but mine. It's a time and place where anything that stands against God on earth is judged. So as he opens these seals, we've come to, missed a page here, chapter 8, where we find the opening of the seventh seal, the final of the seals. And there's been a lot of bad things happen in the opening of the other seals. good things, bad things. The 144,000, as we talked last week, have been sealed, and an innumerable multitude of those who have believed and put their trust in Christ are brought out of great tribulation, where they did not have food, they did not have water, they had lots and lots of sorrow. I might read the end of chapter 7 here. Verse 15, where it says, "Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more," because that's their blessing. That's their, in a sense, their reward, if you would. They went through an awful time of great hunger. We talked about helping some of the seals will bring economic devastation to the world. Poverty, hunger, extreme, large numbers of dead and sickness. But they'll enter in there and there you'll hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. These are all kind of needs that a natural body has. And these are the great burdens and needs that they had in their lives. And so they are here being rewarded and blessed with those things needful for life, the very basics that are needful for life. And these are the things that they are promised as they come out of this great tribulation. They shall hunger no more, in verse 16, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. You know, housing and places to escape the elements. We're talking about the world being reduced to very primitive times on a worldwide basis. If you remember, I spoke about the effects of the COVID situation. I really have trouble putting a second word, COVID whatever, COVID manipulation, COVID pandemic, so many different things. But what we've learned is, even though a very, very percentage-wise, very, very small percentage of the world's population died as a result, many, many, a large percentage were ill and got ill, but a very small percentage of people died. But we're talking about, as these seals are open, millions and billions dying. And we look at, we're still being impacted by this shutdown of all these things did to the world economy. As we read here in chapter 7, these people are come out of a time when there is basically no economy. There are very few goods. This isn't normal life, normal for us at all. This drops us back thousands of years, perhaps. So they're promised, shelter, food, water, basics. "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." It'll be a very sad, sad time. But we come to chapter 8, the last of the seals. "And when he had opened the seventh seal, silence fell upon all heaven for about a half an hour." I'm not going to stand here for half an hour and be quiet. But imagine the central control room of heaven, of the universe. When that seventh seal is broken, something extremely big is about to happen. It's as if all heaven is awestruck at what is about to take place. And rightfully so. And rightfully so. Because the events that were about to take place and unfold at the breaking of the seventh seal will be the unleashing, the unbridling of the forces of darkness upon the world, leading up to the final day and the triumphant entrance of Christ. Yet, in this, the first four of what the seventh seal, with the seven seals, angels, verse 2 says, "And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Well, trumpet is what they use when they're about ready to make an announcement. So each angel now is going to be making an announcement of another phase of judgment and opening a new burden, if you would, on all of earth. And with the first four of them, there's nothing mentioned about the church. There's nothing mentioned about Israel. This is the judgments and the things that will take place upon all the world. No matter what you believe, all roads lead to this place. Christians have been taken out of the world. The church age will have come to an end. There will still be a witness of God on earth, and some indeed may turn to God, but life will be extremely, extremely difficult. And we, more than what we can imagine. You think, it seems that these, the political corruptness and wars and things that are done in wars and persecutions and those things, all the things that we're hearing of, these are just a very, very small, it's really a desensitization, to desensify the world to this kind of stuff. Because it's increasing more and more. It's much more desperate than what we realize. The lies that we live with in this world, I've mentioned so many times throughout the years that Satan's only real weapon is deception, is deceit. And to get people to think things that are, as he did with Eve, that are simply lies. And simply self-destructive. That's why there's so much commotion about artificial intelligence. And I think it always takes me back to here in the last, I can't remember time-wise, in the last year or two, when I did a series of messages on how important, on the truth, the importance of the truth and where you get your truth. And what we'll find is that the world will be in a place where the only truth that will exist on earth is going to be left in Bibles. And this truth is being challenged every day. People are saying, you can't believe this Bible. This stuff is just stories. It's made up to control people. It's this, it's that. It's archaic. It's out of date. It doesn't apply to the world today. The more this world marches toward the chaos and the anarchy, the more and more relevant Scripture becomes. And if you want to know the truth, this is where it's at. Artificial intelligence is neither really artificial or intelligent. It's based, I'm not going to go into it, but it's based on the information that's fed it. It can reach conclusions. It's really no different than a person. It's just a very high rate of speed and has a much broader database to work with. But computers and those sort of things can be deceived by the information that's given them and the logic that they operate from. That's why it makes sense to a smart vehicle that has no driver to run over a policeman because, there's nothing in my data bank that says I shouldn't do it, so I'm going to run into police. I'm going to drive into this train. The real intelligence in this world is found in the Scripture, and as the world draws farther and farther from the Word of God, the more and more trouble is going to come upon the world. the closer that we cling to Scripture and learn of the Word of God and become aware of what is taking place around us, the more valuable the Scriptures are going to be, because this is the source of truth. It's not just a platitude that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. It's not a self-exalting platitude. He's telling us the truth. If you're out there looking for another way to gain eternal life, you're not going to find it except through me. There's no person comes to the Father but by me. Period. I am the truth. Everything else, as Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 10, of the great shepherd, he said, there are many shepherds that would come and they would lead the flock, lead the people of God. But they are thieves and robbers. Their interest is in fleecing the flock, taking advantage of the flock, and the flock will not follow them because they do not hear my voice, the true shepherd's voice. We need to know the voice, the Word of God, the voice of Christ, the voice of the Spirit in our lives. In these days, every day it becomes more and more essential that we not be carried away into these other things. Only Jesus will provide us with the truth. Only Scripture will provide us with the truth. And we need to know that as individuals. And not somebody else's interpretation. So anyway, each one, the seven seals open. There's seven angels that step forward with trumpets. Each one makes an announcement, and things start falling apart in big ways in short amounts of time. So as the seal was open, you saw the seven angels in verse 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. I'm not going to go into trying to describe it, except this altar is a place of holy sacrifice. And the horns upon the altar that we'll speak of later, the horns upon there speak of the power and the strength and the authority of God. And it's a golden, it's pure, it represents God. And these were holy, acceptable sacrifices are offered. And this is the one that sits before the throne of God. And an angel came and stood at the altar, got a golden censer, and it was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar. The incense is that which is fragrant and acceptable and pleasing to God. And he came upon the golden altar, got the fire from the altar. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast into it unto the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So the golden, those things, the offerings of God, the prayers of the saints, those things pleasing to God, were cast onto the earth from the coals, if you would, of the altar. So it was the judgment of God, the burning judgment of God, was cast onto the earth. And this is what began to unfold, is the seven trumpets. This has never happened before. There have been judgments of God on earth. But this is the beginning of the end. And it is ugly. But it's not ugly because God sent it. It is ugly because the world is worthy of it. And we finally find out how ugly things are on earth, how ungodly they are on earth. And this is the judgment that God has spoken of in the beginning of time. And life on earth as we know it is about to come to an end. So the first angel in verse 7 sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all grass, green grass, was burnt up. What would this do to the world economy? They talk about droughts here and there, and how it would affect this local economy. But a third part of the trees were all burned up, and all green grass. How are you going to feed the beef that's going to give you a burger? There's not going to be drive-through restaurants open anymore. Groceries are going to be, all those businesses, all those things, that stuff is going to be gone. People are not going to be driving into the local gas station and coming out with Slurpees and Slushies and all these sorts of things. They're not going to exist. There will be no economy. This is the beginning, if you would, of the judgment of God on earth, and just a foretaste, you might say, of hell on earth. But of what hell will be like. There is nothing. Things that are essential, things that we take for granted, like green grass, will be gone. Don't worry about the Amazon rainforest. Don't get overwrought about all that. It's going to be gone. We're not going to be saved by the Amazon rainforest. God's going to wipe those things out in judgment upon earth. The earth is not going to survive the judgment of God. I'm not encouraging people to go out and be environmentally irresponsible. But it's not your salvation. Environmentalism is basically a religion, in my opinion, and in many others' opinion. We cannot save Earth from this. We are not the saviors of Earth. That is arrogant high-mindedness, and it's wildly uninformed information. But imagine what this will do to the world. All green grass is burnt up, and a third of all trees. So this hail and fire mingled with blood that are cast upon the earth, these are all hail and fire, and these sort of things have always been forms of judgment on earth or on a people or on a nation. But this is not the normal sort of hail and fire. These have selective targets. Imagine fire mingled with blood. There were those hailstones that when Moses was revealing the judgments upon Egypt, there were hailstones that fell upon Egypt, the land of Egypt, that burst into fire. But these will be mingled with blood. Speaking of death and judgment. Verse 8, the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which are in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. What world economy? You're not going to be able to go to the grocery store and pick up a nice little clean plastic ring of shrimp and cocktail sauce. It's not going to exist. We won't be here, but I'm just saying, generally speaking. This great mountain burning with fire. So what do you say? It's a meteor. It's symbolic of a meteor. It just means a meteor. This is how God's going to do it. You know, how he does it, you know, these sorts of things, I'm really not concerned with the detail. What I'm concerned is what it really does, what it accomplishes. A third part of the creatures which are in the sea and had life died. Have you seen recently that there's been a a large number, I can't remember how many, around 20, I want to say, whales wash up on the shores on the East Coast, I think around New Jersey. And they are blaming it on all the wind turbines that have been built out in the sea. And there's been hundreds of thousands of birds killed because of this green energy, environmentally saving energy. In my work on the County Planning Commission, we had to deal with this. And I did all the reading I could, and I did a lot of reading. And there's been studies done over in England where they had these wind generators. And they seem so nice. I mean, there the wind's blowing, they're spinning, they're generating energy. Ain't it great? No. They're horribly unfriendly to the environment. And though they aren't loud, they seem to be quiet, they do put out a very low frequency sound, which is how whales and other fish, water life, sea life, they communicate, because water travels through, sound needs an atmosphere to travel through, and that's why out in space sound doesn't travel, because there is nothing, there is no atmosphere. But underwater, sound travels very easily, and they communicate by very low frequency sounds. And so whatever sound that these wind generators appear to be making are driving the whales some way to death and damaging other sea life and killing birds that fly through and get whacked in half by the blades. Yet those things are pushed and pushed and pushed. But a third part of the creatures in the sea will die. And a third part of the ships will be destroyed when this flaming mountain, whatever it might be. Again, it's not just an asteroid. It's not just a meteor. This is a mountain that comes out from the central control room of the universe to bring about very specific judgments on the earth. It will drive mankind to the, as it is intended, to the brink of destruction. I don't know how many ships there are in the world, but imagine a third of them being gone. You think there's going to be commerce? There is going to be no economy. There are not going to be anything shipped around the world. God is shutting the world down, and it's going to be evident because these are very specific judgments. The third trumpet in verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. Well, it sounds like the same thing as the mountain, but a great star from heaven. Again, asteroid, meteorite, no. I'm going to say no. It's a star from heaven, burning as if it were a lamp. And it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, which is actually a type of tree. But but many men died because of the waters, because they were bitter. These were very specific. This star had a very specific target. Now it's making the water poisonous. How long can you live without water? What's life like without water? We talked about that earlier. I've seen lots of pictures of people around the world trying to, with their hands, scooping water out of mud puddles from rain into plastic, dirty plastic jugs, and that is their water, if they can get it. If they don't have it, they die. They die. And there's no escaping in any part of the world this judgment. Where if you're in the area where a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, there's not going to be any water in your part of the world. a third of the world. Very specific judgments from God. God is step by step cutting off the necessities of life to the world. Well, if there's a God in earth, if there's a God in heaven, why doesn't he do something about all the evil that's going on in the world? Here it is. It's unfolding. Well, we weren't that bad. Yeah, it is that bad. That's why it's his grace that every day that we have life in this world, we are being kept by his grace and his love. Because again, it's his desire that all men would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And never see the church, as Paul says, we were not created to go through this time. We are not called. It's not the calling of the church. We do not need to fear this time because we will not be here if Christ is our Savior today. If we have believed in Christ, we are born of God today, we will see this from a heavenly point of view. We'll be gathered round about the throne. We'll be in the control room and be witnessing, as John is, these things taking place from a heavenly vantage point. But what a sadness that will be on earth. Verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Something big is going to happen in our universe, in our solar system, if you would, where the days, there's not going to be, there's going to be third less light. The world is becoming darker. We know about people who live in the far north in areas or the polar, toward the polar ends of the earth, how that, you know, for a large part or a third part of the year, the sun never really comes up and never really goes down. It'd be something to see, have it all day long, just see the top of the sun go around you in a circle. You know, how do you don't know which way is east or west. It just goes around, because the world's flat, I guess. But just goes around all day long, and it never really gets very light out, and it never gets really dark. Or it gets dark in the wintertime, and the sun hardly at all just comes up. You can't grow crops there. What's the weather like there? Do people plant gardens at that time of the year? I don't think so. Especially if there's no grass. This is going to be a horrendous environmental and a celestial change in our solar system. And the stars and the sun and the moon will not give their light to Earth. It will be cut by two-thirds. Talk about climate change. See, this doesn't get into all the details of what's going to happen. All we know is whatever happens is going to be horrible. More horrible than what we can possibly imagine. Then verse 13 says, and I beheld, John says, and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. In other words, he's saying, you think it's bad now, it's nothing compared to what's coming. The world will be at this time without hope, without life. Everything will have changed. The universe will not be operating the same. The climate will not be operating the same. The biosphere, if you would, of Earth and the animal life on Earth will not be the same. Hunger, starvation, anguish, pain, anger, all sorts of things will be filling this world. And there will be no church bells ringing. And no Christians to blame. No Jews to blame. They're going to cut through this, all that stuff, and start pointing directly at God and blaming Him. They're going to know that this world is under the judgment of God. But woe, there's three woes coming with the next three trumpets, and they are absolutely devastating. But again, we have no mention of Jesus. We have no mention of the church. We have no mention of Jews. But these are our judgments upon all of the earth, except for the 144,000 which are sealed. And it kind of implies there might be others sealed. I'm not going to go into that. But there will be those that will be divinely protected during this time, that these woes will not affect them. Kind of like Moses in Egypt again, when all these plagues came upon Egypt, but suddenly, you know, those flies stopped at this imaginary line and didn't go into and bother the people of Israel. The firstborn that died in all of Egypt, somehow there's this magic invisible line where the firstborn among the Jews didn't die. They were in their houses, and there's this blood on the sides of their doors. And these hailstones did not fall on the people of Israel. They were protected. These are very specific and clear-cut judgments from God upon this world, and those people that know God will not be, the 144,000, what others there may be, will not be affected. The world's going to get very ugly very quick. Our calling, if you remember me going back to chapters 4 and 5, chapters 4 and 5, that one page in your Bible, they're probably both on the same piece of paper, that is the purpose and the calling of God in your life, and that is the goal for you, is to be there and be in that central control room of the universe before the throne of God. And we will only see these things from a heavenly perspective, vantage point. But the world is going to be judged before it's made new. Man on earth is going to be judged. And the destruction of this planet as we know it, all God has to do is rebuild it, which He will. But those who have rebelled and insist on rebelling against God that are alive at this time will be living in a time worse than any other time that has been or ever will be in all of creation, in all of time. It doesn't get any worse than this. I'm going to stop with that for today, and Lord willing, next week we'll pick up with chapter 9. Let's close in prayer. Oh, we have communion. So that's why we, as we take communion, we demonstrate, we express to the world around us and to each other that we believe in the reasons that Jesus came into this world, that He died for us, He shed His blood for us, and we make known that the purpose of Christ coming into this world is to save us from last time. We are in a community of those who believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. And we encourage each other in doing so. So as you're ready, you may come. May God bless you.